Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Thank you. Well, welcome to our family. And we have a lot of family here tonight. And tonight we're going to talk. I asked the producer when I came in, what do we talk about? And she said, Sirach. I said, Sirach. Well, here it's Sirach, the 6th chapter and the 5th verse. It's about friendship. And I think today we need to know what is true friendship. And you know, if you look at our dear Lord, you'll find that the place he was hurt the most was in his heart. That's an awesome thing. He was not accepted when he came, so he was born in a stable. And the only friends he had was his mother and Joseph. And we're talking about years, like 30 years. And some of you that are lonely, you've lost everyone, you've lost your husband, your wife, and the friends you had are either going or on the way out. Do you ever get that feeling that you just kind of look up and see my time might be next because they're all gone? Well, you want to understand that our dear Lord had the same problem. The same problem. He came unto his own, and St. John said, his own did not receive him. Awesome. That the Son of God would come down, and there was no one around. They missed the signs, you know. Today we have a lot of people all over the world looking for signs. They're right in front of you. We're always looking for signs. And Jesus had been prophesied for hundreds of years by great prophets. Isaiah, all the prophets. And yet the ones who kept studying every single day missed it. Isn't that awesome? That the thing they'd been waiting for hundreds of years was right in that city. They didn't know it. Never even guessed it. You know, a woman wrote to me the other day. She was going to marry this man. And what happens? Well, he asked her to go snow sledding. What do you call these? Toboggans? Is that what you call it? They're coming down a hill, and she hits a rock, and she tumbles over, and she's unconscious for 3 months. Now, they're about to be married. She only saw him twice. When things got difficult, he was nowhere to be found. You see? You have to measure your friends. This is what could Sirach said. So this man she was going to marry was not a friend. Are you a friend with your friend, with your daughter or your son? Or are you just the father or mother? Are you a friend with your relatives? Can they come to you and tell you their hard up story? And you've heard it 500 times. 500 times you heard about their gallbladder, their liver condition, their migraine headaches. You know it by heart. As soon as you see them coming down the road, you say, aha, here comes the migraine. But being a friend to that person is to listen for the 1500th time. See, we're so self-oriented today, we don't know what it means to be a friend. And you know, I've often wondered about that, what we hear so often is, well, I don't have to love you. I have to love you, but I don't have to like you. What does that mean? We don't have a concept of friend anymore because we're not honest with each other, we're not true to each other, and we don't have the faintest idea. The first one that has to be your friend is Jesus. Jesus has to be your friend. The one you go to for everything. You know, when we go and get our groceries, we put something on the altar. So you can go in the cloister chapel and you'll find a big hunk of salami, or you'll find some olives, or you'll find some bread. And I know that he knows we got it. You can't surprise God, you know? But you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, unless you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom. He wants us to treat him as our dearest friend. Sirach says here, let those that are at peace with you be many. We don't know what peace is. Today, peace is an absence. An absence of war, an absence of problems, an absence of pain, an absence of everything. So often people will say, well, if it wasn't for so-and-so, I'd be happy. Would you? No. They're your dearest friend and you don't know it. The person that bugs you the most is your dearest friend. But you don't treat them like that. See? We have an idea that my dearest friend will always agree with me. No way. Because no two people think alike. We have a lot of acquaintances. Do you notice that? But how many friends do you have? How many friends can you go and confide something and it dies right there? That's why I know for sure women cannot be priests. Because they don't have the ability to keep a secret. They don't. I've never met one, and I live with 30 of them. That you can't, and it isn't that they mean to be untrustworthy, they just can't keep it. It's just terrible. I had a woman come to me one time and she said she wanted to make a sacrifice for Lent. So I said to her, well, don't gossip. She said, the whole of Lent? I said, yeah, the whole of Lent. She said, 40 days? I said, 40 days. Well, what'll I talk about? I said, are you telling me that you cannot say a word except the gossip? She said, well, what would you talk about? I said, try God. It's better than what you're saying. See, we get into habits, and that's why we never keep a friend, because as soon as they begin to irk, then you begin to change friends. And that's why he says here, he says, if you find a friend, you will gain him through testing. And you know, our dear Lord sometimes tests us. Did you notice that? Huh? He tests us to be sure that we are able to bear the next cross. That God is so good to us. We've learned that here a million times. If God wants us to do something great, he has to prepare us way down here. And we grow. We go through one test after another. One test after another. You wonder sometimes how you can accept a big cross, huh? Big crosses and tragedies. If I don't understand, and if I'm not a friend of Jesus, how am I going to accept a tragedy, a heartache? If you were going to run a race, you would have to start running months ahead of time. We're going to have the Olympics here in Atlanta pretty soon, next month. The people from Europe and Australia came here 2 months ago just to get accustomed to the heat. I don't know what they're going to do in July running a marathon when it's 100 degrees. But if they hadn't come when they did, they'd never be able to do it. See? All the problems in your life are all exercises of faith and hope and love. God loves you, and so many people don't know that. And he is your dearest friend. In fact, to the apostles, he said one day, he said, you are no longer servants. I call you friends. I want you all to be a friend of Jesus. I want you to trust him in everything. Talk to him in everything. And talk to him as a child speaks to a child. You don't have to say long prayers. All you need to do is to talk to him. If I get a new pair of shoes, I go before the Blessed Sacrament. And I say, Lord, thank you for my new shoes. I know he knows I got new shoes. It's not, I don't enlighten him. He knew that 20 million years ago that I was going to get new shoes. He wants me to tell him. And sometimes I think some of you never strive for holiness because you don't think God calls you to be holy. But he does. He calls you and called you from all eternity to be holy. And I think it's because we have so many imperfections. Huh? They say it takes a saint to live with a saint. Well, I hope that isn't true. But you're all saints in the making. You may never be canonized. Besides, it's too expensive. It costs almost $100,000 to be canonized. Did you know that? It's too much to do. Too many people have to work to find out, did she make it? Did she really have heroic virtue? And where's the devil's advocate by the time you go through all that? That's where the money is. You and I are called by God to be saints exactly where you are. In your home, in your work, everywhere. We're called by God to be holy. And this is what Sirach says. He says, a friend is a table companion. A table companion. Somebody you feel comfortable eating with. You know, there's some people you don't feel comfortable eating with. Did you ever find somebody like that? You just don't feel comfortable. And then there's some people you could eat chicken and corn with. That's friendship, see? If you can take a big leg of chicken and whoop, you got a friend. In a restaurant, you slice it, you see? But if you're eating with a friend, it doesn't matter. You're at home. And that's what Sirach is saying. He says, a faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. Meaning you can go with that or to that person with anything at all. You can tell them everything and anything and they will understand. And that's Jesus. Jesus is your personal friend. It says here, there is nothing so precious as a faithful friend. And no scales can measure his excellence. And Jesus is, first of all, your first faithful friend. And then he says, whoever fears the Lord directs his friendship aright. We just had Pentecost a few weeks ago. And Pentecost is that awesome time in our lives when God gives us an indwelling presence more and more strong, stronger and stronger and stronger. So that in the heart of Jesus, you and I live. See? You and I live in the heart of Jesus. You and I were created by God in His mind. We've been there for centuries. For centuries. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one day we became aware that here we are. He was aware for centuries. He waited patiently for you and me to be born. Ah. Most people wait for other people to die. God waited for you and I to be born, and He gave us Himself. Gave us Himself. Don't be disheartened by this veneer we all have, you know? Some people are very thin, some people are very fat, some people are beautiful, some people are ugly, some people are nice, and some people are terrible. But they're all created by God. We would not have wars if we knew that one fact. I think the thing that God is looking for today is a family that understands each other, that loves each other, and listens to each other, and bears each other's burdens. I tell the sisters upstairs often, it doesn't matter what we accomplish. Doesn't matter. It matters only that we as a community love each other and do things for each other. And that love of Jesus is our purpose of being here, our goal, our aim. And you have to have the same thing. You must be a friend of Jesus. And when you are, then other people become your friends. Why? Because you attract them to you. Everybody is looking for God today. From the very richest to the very poor. We hunger for God in our hearts. We want the Lord. We don't want to pay the price, but we do seek God. And when we don't seek God, we're miserable. Did you ever notice that? Huh? You go around like you lost your best friend, and maybe you did. Maybe you did. We have a friend in Our Lady also. Those of you that have had terrible tragedies in your life, go to Our Lady. This man here in front gave me a beautiful painting of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's all in silver, but it's so heavy I can't show it to you. But there was a lot of love put into that. And Our Lady is your dearest friend next to Jesus. She loves you. She's always with you. And she prays for you. You know, our dear Lord said one time to his apostles, "Do not be afraid. I am with you always." Always. That's a friend. When he rose, he said, "Why do you fear?" You know, these apostles, we would have never chosen these men as apostles. Peter always thought after he spoke. Always. Thomas was a doubter. If someone, one of the apostles came back and he had just healed someone, Thomas would go up to him and say, "Well, how do you know he was born blind? Were you there?" He was a doubter. Judas was very jealous and he was greedy. He didn't want Jesus to be Lord Messiah. No. John and James were always close to Jesus and bragging about the beloved one. Now, wouldn't that gripe you, huh? Wouldn't that gripe you? He was always the one whom Jesus loved. As if he didn't love anybody else. That would have gotten on your nerves. All the apostles had terrible faults. And after Pentecost, when the Spirit came, they were changed people. Changed. Oh, Peter got so brave. He opened those doors and he said, "Men of Judea, listen to what I have to say." Ooh, that's not the Peter I know. He changed. One time a heretic was in the baths where John was. And he got out of the baths. He said, "I can't have a bath with that man. He's a heretic." His temper. He was there to defend Jesus. All of us have the very best inside of us. We don't always show it, but it's there. Some of you out there listening to me tonight have all kind of problems with people, with those you work with your family. Look at yourself and say, "Lord, what's wrong with me?" He'll tell you. Try to be loving and kind. If a person is not your friend, it doesn't matter. Be a friend to them. You know, our Lord said one time, if you do good to those who do good to you, pagans do that. It doesn't matter really if you have friends. Be a friend. Forgive as you are forgiven. That's a hard thing to do today. We live in a world that's war-torn and hate is everywhere. Everywhere. We have people who hate you for your color, hate you for your religion, hate you because you're some particular denomination, or hate you because you're some nationality they don't like. And you and I, as Christians, we are called by a God to change the world. You are. I am, and you are called by God to change the world. I must be compassionate when I'm not shown compassion. I must be loving when I'm not shown love. I must be patient when I have to wait, even for God. I am the one, and you are the one, as a Christian. And if you're a Catholic Christian, you have more responsibility than anyone does, because you have all the sacraments. You have all the sacraments. And the Eucharist, oh. You can go to any Catholic church and talk to God face to face. Do you know that? Have you lost the reality that you can go and speak to the Lord God face to face in the Eucharist, huh? Do you know that as a Catholic? Do you know that he died just for you? Do you know that every time you go to Mass, you're at the same sacrifice as on Calvary? Today, you know, we got balloons up there. We got people dancing around. Nobody danced on Calvary. The Mass is Calvary. Do you know that? Now that's where Jesus showed his friendship for you and me. He went through that terrible agony so you and I could be with him forever. He said, "My Father's house has many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you." It's the same sacrifice as Calvary. I am present there and you are present there. If we knew that, there would be no wars in the world at all. We have lost our enthusiasm for the faith. And I sometimes think Americans especially are deadheads. You know what a deadhead is? They lost it, that's all. Just lost it. We're not enthused. I admire my Protestant brother. The little he has, he's enthused over. When was the last time you said to someone that was sad, "Oh, come on, come and see Jesus"? You wouldn't say that if you were somebody had a gun in your face. You're so afraid. We're ashamed and afraid to talk about Jesus and what we believe in. I keep telling you what my old mom used to say. My good Italian mother had a lot of little things she used to say, and one of them, some I can't tell you on television. One of them was, everybody has to bring his own carcass to market. I bet I heard that 1,000 times. See? My grandmother had something else to say to me. She'd look at me and say, "Testa dura." Hard head. But you see, we're all like that. We're all like that. We lost the spiritual realities of our life. All we do is act by what we see, what we hear, what people say, what we read in a magazine, what you see in a movie. That's all we know. If I asked you to quote a part of scripture, you wouldn't know anything. If I asked you to quote "As the World Turns" from yesterday, you could tell me. Soap operas are indelibly impressed upon your mind, but not God's. Now, doesn't that seem kind of strange? Huh? You follow those things like they were real. Before you die, you will probably have one-third of your life before the television tube. The other third asleep. What are you doing with the last third? Well, I bet you're saying, well, I think I hear you say, I don't know. Well, that's sad. You and I have to look at, where am I going? Why did God put me here? What does He want me to do? We're nearing an election. I think we are. We got to pray. We have to pray. So many of these politicians are so afraid to be pro-life. You know, 75% of the Catholics in America, that's a lot of percentage, 75%, I read today, cannot explain partial abortion to anyone. They don't have the slightest idea what it means. Do you know what it means? It means just as a baby is being born, he's turned around, taken out, and a scissors is put right here at the base of his brain, and his brains are sucked out for experimentation. How is it, with 70 million Catholics in America, that's about 25% of the Catholics in America, very few say anything about such an atrocity? See, our concept of friendship is so low. Those poor babies don't have a chance. Don't have a chance. They don't have a friend in the world. Let's think about that. Pray hard, very hard, for this nation, who was at one time under God. Now it's under science, and it's under the world. It's not under God. You and I, if there's ever been an election you prayed over, it should be this one. That somebody will have the courage and the strength to be a friend of the unborn. Right now, I don't see any politician, or very few, that are friends of the unborn. And if you're not a friend of the unborn, you can forget the elderly. Because then you're judged by your quality of life. Let's think, who am I a friend to? And who is a friend to me? We have a call. Hello?
Hello.
Where are you from?
I'm calling from Terre Haute, Indiana.
Oh, good. What is your question?
I have a question. First of all, I might state that I'm a Baptist.
That's all right.
And I have a question on what you believe is the way to heaven.
You what?
What is your thought on the way the person gets to heaven?
Well, that's not hard to know. I'm sure you know, as a good Baptist, you know this book inside out. You know this book inside out. I must obey the laws of God. I must be faithful to the Lord. I must believe what he said. As a Catholic, I must believe in the Holy Father, in the Magisterium of the Church. I must have that deep faith in the sacraments that no one can shake. You as a Baptist have to seek the truth. You must seek the truth. If you have any doubt about your religion, you must seek the truth. You must follow the laws of the Lord. Do your work for him. Do everything you do for him. Radiate Jesus to your neighbor. It's a sure path to heaven. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
And where is your question?
I have a question. We were talking about friends.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Jesus was turned away by many, as you said, but was the Blessed Mother, because she was his mother, also shunned by the people?
You have to repeat that.
Because Jesus was shunned by so many, even by his own, was his mother all his life, shunned as well?
Our Lady was our Lord's best friend, his mother and his friend. And she had to suffer from the ridicule of the entire passion and the ridicule at the cross. At the cross. There's no woman ever ridiculed as much as our mother was. She suffered awful and ridiculed by the soldiers, by the Jewish, by the women. And I would imagine her whole life, she would suffer from the ridicule the church got. She suffered from the martyrs because the people did not believe. She was not a woman that was a popular woman of the town. She wasn't. She suffered with her son. And if you're a friend of anyone, a dear friend, you suffer what they suffer. In fact, I think sometimes you suffer more. Our Lady knew pain. She knew ridicule and persecution. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
And what is your question?
I'm 16 years old and a devout Roman Catholic.
Will you speak a little louder?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I'm 16 years old and I'm a devout Roman Catholic and a follower of the Church, of the teachings of the Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I've suffered a lot of persecutions because of it. I was recently asked to leave a Catholic high school because I wrote a letter to the bishop, and they felt that I was doing something that was none of my concern. That was their job. And a lot of people don't understand what I'm doing, and I hear that I'm fighting a lot, lost cause, a lot, and I'd like your prayers, Mother.
You have vocation?
Yes, ma'am. I certainly feel that I have a vocation to the priesthood.
And they don't understand?
Well, they understand my vocation, but they don't understand why I fight so much to preserve the teachings of the Church, because, like I said,
because for them, honey, it's easier to go along than to fight for the Church, fight for truth. Everybody, in general, takes the easy path, and you make them feel guilty when you stand up for the truth. You make the others around you feel guilty. They just assume you shut up, but don't. If you're a good Catholic, you've got to be a thorn in somebody's side. I make a lot of people absolutely miserable. And I enjoy doing it. I do. I don't care if you hate me. At least I have made you angry. You see, that's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing because now you're going to start to think, what am I doing with my life? We're not here to win friends and influence people. We're here to be truth, to be like Jesus, to be loving, compassionate. But you got to say the truth. You keep on saying it. Don't be a priest if you're going to chicken out now. Go with it. Be strong. Be strong. And you stand up for Jesus, he'll stand up for you. And persevere. I'm going to say a prayer for you, okay? Lord God, here is a son of yours, Lord, who wants to be a priest. And it gets ridicule and persecution. Give him strength. Give him courage. Give him hope. Give him perseverance, Lord. Enlighten his friends who walk in darkness. Give them the strength to accept the truth. We ask this in Jesus' holy name and his mother. Amen. We have another call. Hello?
Yes, Mother.
Where are you from?
Kansas.
And what is your question?
I was raised Catholic and I'm still a practicing Catholic, but I feel like I have lost my faith and I feel like I have lost my love for my family and
my
friends.
What makes you think you lost it, honey?
Due to some circumstances that happened, I made some wrong choices, and I had quit praying, and I just feel like I've lost my faith.
Oh, no. You haven't lost your faith, honey. You wouldn't be crying now if you lost your faith. See? You wouldn't feel hurt now if you lost your faith. See? You know Jesus loves you. Find a good confessor. And just sit down and just talk to him and just tell him. And maybe you did go, but you don't feel better. Well, you got to go to Jesus and sit down before the Blessed Sacrament and just say, Lord, I don't have any more faith. I'm dried up. I've made bad decisions, I've done bad things. But sweetheart, he's looking for you to come back to him. And you have to have faith in his mercy because it looks to me like you went to confession, but you don't have faith in his mercy, see? I said this on the air before, but I think for your sake, I gotta say it again. In the life of one of the great saints, nobody believed she was seeing the Lord. And this confessor she had said to her, look, I don't really believe that the Lord appears to you. If he does, tell him to tell you my last mortal sin. So when the Lord appeared to her, she told him, she said, my confessor doesn't believe, Lord. And he asked me to ask you what was his last mortal sin. And the Lord looked at her with great love. And he said, tell him, I don't remember. See? I don't remember. And that's what you need to do. You just go in all your misery and sit before the Blessed Sacrament. And you'll walk out a different person, and don't wait for some feelings to come along. They don't mean anything. You want your faith back. You wouldn't be listening to me if you didn't want your faith back. Go to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want to be your friend. Please, be my friend. Will you do that? Good. We have another call. Hello?
Hello.
Where are you from?
I'm from Orlando, Florida, Mother. My name is Leslie.
Wonderful. What is your question?
Well, I have a statement. I'm, first of all, very privileged to have the Blessed Sacrament exposed in our church 24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
from now into eternity. And every time I go before the Blessed Sacrament, which is several times a week, your name is first that I whisper to him.
Thank you.
We love you. Mother, you had said earlier that all the apostles had tremendous faults, or a lot of faults.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, St. John, the Beloved, which fault did he have? Was he maybe, was he assured maybe that he was so loved?
Yeah, he had a couple biggies. One time they went into a city, and the city did not accept the Lord. So he goes up to Jesus and he says, Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven and consume all these miserable people? He didn't have power to do that. You know what our Lord said to him? Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what he said to him. You don't know what you're talking about. Ah, John and James. Let's put James in with John. They're looking at all these apostles and they're thinking, this is my rendition. Now, you're not going to find this in Scripture. I've got to make this up, but it'll give you an idea because these were men. Men are men. So, I can see James and John looking around at Peter, and they're saying to themselves, you know, some of these are wackos. We need to be right next to our Lord in his kingdom. They don't know what they're doing. Now, neither one of them had the humility to ask. So they go to their mother. Chicken. And they say, you go and ask him if we can be one on the right and one on the left. Now, the mother goes. She said, Lord, he said, what can I do for you? She said, Lord, grant that my two sons may be one on your right and one on your left. And they're looking so nice, you know, like, ah. And the Lord said, well, it's not for me to give. What a disappointment, huh? It's not for me to give. The Father has chosen the one on my right and my left. And then he said, can you drink of the chalice? I shall drink. He said, oh, yeah, we could do that. They did. There's three nice big faults in John and James that should make you and the rest of you feel good. They were men. And men have different faults than women. Pride being one of them. And I even after, you know, it kind of, I get tickled at John. I love St. John. Don't misunderstand me. But I get tickled at him because even in his epistles, in his gospel, he keeps rubbing it in. You know, the disciple whom the Lord loved saw all of this happen. He's always saying that. See? Well, he had his faults. You have yours, and I have mine. Sometimes I dream of myself being patient. I don't think there's an Italian born that way. And I've never grown into it yet. I have to work at it, you see. So everybody has a fault or many faults. Many of you are great sinners listening to me tonight. Come back home. Jesus is waiting with great love and mercy and compassion. Come home. Don't be afraid. Once he forgives, he forgets. Because he loves you so much. See? So please, go to confession. We had a man who went to confession the other day after 62 years. And you know, I thought to myself, this entire network was worth that one confession. If we did nothing else all these 15 years, that one was worth it all. So please, don't postpone going to confession, but please get a confessor who believes in sin. Otherwise, you're going to walk out wondering why you went in. You need somebody to be tough on you. I pat you on the back, but he needs to know, yes, that was a sin, and it's pretty bad, but you can change. See? Our dear Lord always mixed compassion with justice. It was never one or the other. It's always both together. Well, don't forget, put us between your gas and electric bill. This network is brought to you by you. By you. I want to thank all of you that give. And I want to pat all of you that don't give somewhere, but not on the back. Because we need you to continue this network. God gave us such an awesome gift. So write to me, will you? Write to Mother Angelica, Irondale, Alabama, 35210. You and I together must build the church. Wherever you are, defend her. Whatever you hear that you know is not true or right, when she is maligned by her own, build her up. Build her up. When people speak against her, say something nice. When the whole world persecutes the church, you stand tall, even if you're alone. So, don't forget, I'm not going to be here the next 2 weeks. I made a special tape for you for next Tuesday and next Wednesday. Please don't stop your contributions because I'm not here. Last time I went out of town, we almost went whoop. So, if we're talking about friendship, be a friend while I'm gone and pray for us. Last week we were in New York, in Long Island, and this week, or this coming week, we'll be in many places, places that we needed to be to save souls. So I'm going to say a prayer for you before I leave. Lord Jesus, I ask you to take care of all these people and those that are listening to me tonight. Keep them close to your sacred heart. Be with them wherever they are. Take good care of them, Lord, while I'm gone. And take care of their loved ones. Stop abortion, Lord. Save the babies. And Lord, bless my sisters and brothers and all those that come here. And please, Lord, make them generous while I've got. I want to come home without all the worry that was caused by my last trip. So anyway, I love you. And we'll be together, and Father Pavone will be here the next 2 weeks. So give him a big welcome when he comes. God bless you. I'll see you again. Bye now.